It was signed by 13 colonies. Would you please open in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17. And verse 33. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. He's talking about someone that feared God, but they also had other things that they gave too much attention to and priority to. And I want to preach today on priorities, because this Declaration of Independence was signed by 55 men. We call it the Declaration of Independence. And before I talk about what happened to these men, may we understand it was not until 100 years later that Congress declared the signing of that should be a national holiday, which they determined to be July 4th. At the same time they made this a national holiday, they included Christmas because it was Christ-oriented. We think that in the signing of the Declaration of Independence, most schools are not teaching history correctly. I saw someone going out interviewing people if they knew what this was all about, and it was embarrassing to see that hardly anyone understood the meaning. And even at those that do have somewhat of an understanding that they signed the Declaration of Independence, it wasn't that when they signed it that it was England was going to say, okay, the property is now yours. It's not like you buy a house, you move in it, you sign the papers, and all is done. When they signed what they wrote out of them wanting to be free from England and declaring their independence and not wanting to pay taxes, etc., it was as much as asking for a war, and they knew it. They knew that England, who was occupying the land where the 13 colonies were, would not appreciate it, and therefore a war broke out. And they knew that in signing such a paper, it would bring upon the wrath of England and much hardship and suffering and persecution. But these 56 men that we are going to look at today, they knew it would cost them dearly. And according to a historian, Kenneth L. Dodge, he writes about some hardship and sufferings that happened to those and their families that signed this. And of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British, and they were tortured before they died. These men that signed it, to some degree, reminds me of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, of those who wandered in caves and dens, and having not received the promise, and because of their commitment to God, they knew they would be persecuted, and they were persecuted. These people that signed it, in some sense, knew also they would be persecuted, and by faith went ahead and moved forward. And now these people the Bible speaks of who believed in their God, they were willing to do what needed to be done to serve Him and not bow down. Serving God is not just a mental decision. It's part of that. But I thought how interesting how these men who signed the document, knowing it would bring the hardship and the suffering, They were committed and their priorities were in order. 12 of their homes, 12 of the men that signed it, their homes were ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons and died in battle in the Revolutionary Army, a war that followed. Another one of those that signed had 2 of their sons captured and tortured. 9 of these 56 signatures fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, and I found his name on these underneath. You'll find one of those signatures, Carter Braxton. He was a Virginia. He was a wealthy planter and trader. He saw his ships sunk by the British Navy. His signature is on the 3rd row over and 1 up from the bottom. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts, and he died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British general, Cornwallis, had taken over. They're the bad guys, the English. And they took over a home that was owned by Thomas Nelson. Thomas Nelson's name is on that. His signature is also in the 3rd row from the bottom. But his home was taken over by the British and it was used for their headquarters. Thomas Nelson, being outgunned and outpowered by the British taking over his home, he went to George Washington, who was the general, and asked him, "Please go destroy my home where the headquarters are." He knew that that would be necessary, and George Washington said, "But it's your home, it's your..." "Yes, but we need it for the victory." His home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart, his signature is in the 4th row next to the last from the bottom. John Hart was driven from his home with his wife at her bedside as she lay dying. They had 13 children that when the enemy came, they all fled. His fields and mill were destroyed, and for over a year, John Hart lived in the forest and in caves. He would return home only to find his wife had died and his children had vanished and never found them. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. These people that signed it were very committed and had convictions for their Christian faith. Something else that's very interesting about the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, who both signed it, both of them died 50 years to the day from the signing of the document. That is interesting, and both died. And as I was contemplating these men and the sacrifices they made for our country and for their Christian faith, in wanting to have freedom to serve the Lord, it began to draw my attention to priorities. And I want to talk about the 5 areas where we need to have priorities. We need to have priorities in our personal lives. We need to have priorities in our family life. We need to have priorities in our relationship to God. And we need to have priorities when it deals with relationships to God's people, and we need to have priorities when it comes to a relationship to His work and to His kingdom. And as I was considering this and praying over it, I came to the conclusion that a person can be very busy in life, whether it be the 5 things that I've mentioned or just other things that are taking your time that must be addressed. And you can have your priorities all out of whack. And you may be putting great importance upon things that are not that important. And you may be not putting importance on things that are very important. and spiritual responsibilities. In order to be able to decide what and where should be your priorities, I want you to realize that God is a God of order. He is a God of priorities himself. He has divine order. God says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And if we're led by the Holy Spirit, and thank you for your comment, Brother Jim, about letting the Holy Spirit guide you in your speaking in tongues. But if we are led by the Spirit of God and we're prompted by the Spirit, then we should begin to think, as the Spirit is helping us in our thinking, what comes first? And what are my real concerns? And what does take priority? Because you see, Israel in our text, they feared God, but they served other idols. They had their priorities way out of whack. And a priority is often stamped on unimportant things, while matters of great spiritual value are often lightly considered. Paul tells us in his writings, all things are lawful. Everything's okay, but not all things are expedient. Meaning that it shouldn't be given the attention, it shouldn't have the priority that you're giving it. And this expediency that he spoke of, this proper arrangement of our events and concerns, is what God wishes to impress upon us today, I pray, by the Holy Spirit. And perhaps we devote too much time to some things which, though not necessarily are bad, and are of they're not questionable as sinful in that, but we should question the value of them. If we place undue importance on minor things while we hardly consider major matters, we will definitely find ourselves in trouble. How many have ever heard the expression, they major on minors? A certain man in the Bible, Jesus said these words as this man was choosing to live an easy, relaxed life. That was his goal. And he was so intent on fulfilling his dream that he was overheard talking to himself. And here's what he said, "Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." It wasn't long before that man saw the stupidity of his choice, but it was too late because God said to him, "Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall all those things be?" That's found in Luke, the 12th chapter and the 20th verse. What's wrong with eat, drink, take thine ease? Those are innocent things. But he did not put God first in his life. Now, it may not be wicked to desire affluence. It may not be wrong and sinful to desire a social decent standing among people. It may not be wrong to desire to have material security. But if those things are sought after at the expense of some very real spiritual necessities, such as faithfulness with the Lord and serving him in the church and the calling that he's trying to get you into, then we desperately need to rearrange our priorities. And we are seeing this continually. I want us to look at the priorities of Jesus, because we sang much of our songs about turning our attention, our eyes, and our ears upon him. Let's look at the priorities of Jesus. When he was just 12 years old, Jesus was separated from Mary and Joseph while in Jerusalem. And 3 days later, they found him in the temple, and they found him with some Bible expositors, and they expressed that they were irritated and said, "We sought thee for 3 days." Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't say, and I've been looking for you for 3 days too? But here's what Jesus said, showing us, even at an early age, where his priorities were. He said, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And he says here, "I must." And we can see the priorities of Jesus early at the age of 12. And it set the tone of his main concern even at an early age. And later, as an adult, he still declared, "I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father." His priority was God first when he was 12, and here at 30 to 33 and a half, it was still God first. "I do always those things that please him." And he did that even under the most inhuman pressure, when his body and his mind longed for release from the cup that he was to drink. He kept his priorities in focus and said, "Even then, not my will, but thine be done." And Jesus, our leader, taught us what should come first in spite of the demands that are placed upon our body, the demands that the world tries to place upon us, and the demands that even human reason places upon us. Why, when Jesus went into the wilderness, right after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, Satan tried to twist and upset his priorities that he had for the Lord as he was tested in the wilderness. And he came to attack his priorities. He suggested that Jesus turn the stone into bread. Now remember, Jesus had just gone 40 days without eating. There's nothing wrong with eating bread when you're hungry, is there? And he took him then to a high place, a high tower of the temple, and he suggested that he display his miracle-working power and to float down. He didn't have a parachute. He didn't have one of those, what are those lines called? Zip line. He didn't have a zip line. Anybody ever go on a zip line? Boy, not me. I hate heights. But he said to him, "Go ahead and float on down." And nothing wrong with power and authority. And the devil's scheme was to take legitimate needs, and to blow them up out of proportion to their importance and convince Christ that he could and he should have them at any cost. But Jesus refused to fall for the ruse. He was guided in his choice by "It is written." And his priorities were set by the will of God and the word of God. And again he said, I do always the things that please the Father. I hope your priorities are Jesus first. Now let's look at the priorities of the early church. Jesus has left. How did the Christians in the early church live? What was important to them? And the scriptures indicate that the priorities were outlined. They had already been established by the Lord that they had followed. And Jesus told them, as the last thing he said was, "Go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Obedience to what Jesus said was a priority to the early church. And so they knew that without the power of the Holy Spirit, they would be useless. And so because their priority was, "We've got to obey God," they went and they tarried, as Jesus said, because without the dynamic energy of the Holy Spirit, they would be helpless. And they learned the value of complete dependence upon the Spirit and the anointing of God. It was so important that they were careful to ask new converts. They so believed in receiving the power of the Holy Spirit that they left that day And whenever they saw new converts, we read, they said this: have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The Holy Ghost was a priority for the early church. The Lord also told them to study. Remember when he said, learn of me? They remembered those words, learn of me. And so they absorbed his word. It was a priority. It gave them enlightenment. It gave them confidence. It gave them faith. It gave them direction. And it gave them encouragement. And without the knowledge of the word of God, they would not know what to do or say. And accompanied with the Holy Spirit that they also valued. It was a priority to be full of the Holy Spirit, and it was a priority to get into God's word. And the Savior commissioned them to go. And so they went everywhere preaching and teaching that Christ is the Savior, and he's the answer to the world's greatest needs, and he still is today. And the Jerusalem church is an illustration of what happens when proper priorities are set. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he declared his priority when he said these words: I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and so count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know what? I lost a lot of things, Paul said, but they're not a priority to me. What's a priority is that I may know Christ. And no wonder the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, your priorities are not right. Now, yes, God gives us these things richly to enjoy, but they can get out of place, and we can begin to have covetousness and the love of the world, which is not healthy. Make sure you have it and it doesn't have you. And so that's the priorities of the early church. Let's look at the priorities of this century in which we live. What are the priorities of the church now? I came into Pentecost in the late 60s. My pastor came into Pentecost and his remembers back in the 20s. And so I listened to the priorities then, and they hadn't changed when I came in at the 60s. But the Pentecostal way was the beginning of a total new life. Why, when I came to the Lord and began to experience the Pentecostal way, everything dropped off. And we discovered Christ and his wonder-working power. All my friends that I had, I can remember them saying, what happened to Dennis? Something got a hold of Dennis. I remember one night I gathered up about eight of them and took them to a revival. Some of them had never been to church. And they just thought, well, man, if it's that important to you, you're totally different. And all I could do was just think, eat, and preach Jesus and love Jesus. And everything was different. And I remember when I took them into that revival, we got a little bit late because picking them all up, there was an evangelist by the name of Bill Stevens. The Holy Spirit moved on him early in the service. I remember him grabbing his hanky and 6'3", big old belly and those old skinny toothpicks legs. And he's going back and forth, and some people had come down and fallen under the power of God. And Bill Stevens is waving his hanky saying, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. And my friends are looking and say, somebody bleeding? It was the Pentecostal blessing, and I explained to them what had happened. But there was a great change. It is a Pentecostal experience, and it's a priority. Somebody asked me, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I'm a Pentecostal preacher, and I'd be ashamed if I wasn't anything else. You should be ashamed for not saying amen. Amen. It is a priority. The Pentecostal way was the beginning of a total new life. Old customs dropped off, and we discovered Christ in his wonder-working power. It was no longer business as usual with me. New goals and involvement took priority. Indeed, the priority of the early Pentecostal church was to make sure that everyone knew about Jesus, and they heralded that name everywhere they went. They were standing then and even 40 years ago on the street corners and in the parks or in the town hall, and in spite of stones and tomatoes or jeers, the priority was tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. The other day I was at the high school, it was a drugstore on Winchester. And Hamilton, Walgreens. And I'm standing in line to pick up a prescription for my wife. And I could hear, and it was obvious somebody is having a difficulty breathing. And I didn't want to look because I said to myself, I'm sure they're already conscious of their physical ailment and probably it's not enjoyable, and they don't like doing what they're doing. But I could hear, having a difficulty breathing. Finally, when he came right in direction, I didn't want to make eye contact to the point where it would embarrass him. I'm sure he was self-conscious enough. He had not a wheelchair, but he had one of these pushers. And he was of Asian background. And he went over and barely sat down and still, And I remember his wife came up and they got into a little spat. She wanted something out of his wallet, and he's, you know, and they're talking in this, it wasn't a heavenly language, it was Asian language. And finally she got it and went there, and I felt impressed to pray for him. And I am wrestling, well, is this Lord or is this me? And then I began to ask the question, what difference does it make? He said to go and to heal and to pray for people, etc. And I know I'm not the healer, it's not the point, but I'm wrestling with this. And finally I just thought, whether I get a sign from the Lord or not, I'm going to go up and I'm going to pray for him, and I'm going to use all the wisdom and the tact that I can. So I went over and I got down, looked at him, and I didn't know if he understood me, but I thought I could give some hand gestures, he would. And so I said, can I pray for you? And I don't know if he understood or not, but I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I remember laying hands on him, and I knew people were watching, and because what he was doing was drawing attention. And I just remember praying, said, oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bring healing to this man. And Lord, it's your will to heal, and it's your will to save. And I figured I got me an audience. I might as well preach to him while I'm praying. And Lord, it's your will to save people from their sins, and it's your will to heal. And Lord, I just pray that you do that. You love this man. I'd like to say to you, he jumped up out of there and started breathing, but that didn't happen. But I will say he reached up and he grabbed my hand and he said, and I knew he was telling me, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that was the Pentecostal church, that they were not happy if they didn't tell anybody about Jesus. And if they did tell anybody about Jesus, that's what brought them joy. Oh, there was joy in my heart for telling somebody about Jesus. It's called priorities. But priorities must be set. They just don't happen. You have to make some decisions. What's going to be your priority? Relationship. We all have family and friends and neighbors. I want to ask you, who comes first? Jesus or them? God doesn't want us to sever connections with our relatives and friends, but he does make it clear that he expects to be first. Any other arrangement will not work. For Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother, son or daughter, more than me, you're not worthy of me. I hope you put Jesus first and not family. I've seen people put family first. That's not good. You put Jesus first. Let's talk about activities. Your activities. There should be priorities. Of course, we have our employment and we're involved with hobbies and sports and social events and a variety of other activities. And these can take up a lot of time. But please remember, in all your activities, Jesus admonished us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said also to occupy until He returns. Spiritual things must be at the top of the list. And let's talk about priorities in your thought life. All kinds of thoughts are competing. We have thoughts that are selfish. We have thoughts that are worldly. We have thoughts that are critical. We have thoughts that are jealous. We have thoughts that are antagonistic. And we have good thoughts. But what should we be thinking about? What should the child of God, where should his priorities be when it comes to your thought life? And Paul admonished us in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, let those thoughts be first. The Holy Spirit can help you to do that. Saturating our minds with His Word, a constant attendance to the house of God, where the washing of the water will come. Dedication is possible to the dedicated person who chooses to make him a priority. And so in closing, these men that signed it, it cost them dearly. But their priorities were in order. And I pray that our priorities, we can be a lover of ourselves, and we can be, if we're not careful, fully committed to the gratification of our own ego and of our selfish desires. But a Christian's priority in the area of dedication, in addition of being fully committed, is to his Lord, is a life of service to others. Are you committed to others? Is that a priority? Paul said, look not on your own affairs, but look on the affairs of others. We really could become overwhelmed with material things, but the Lord warns us that life consists not in the possessing, in the abundance of material items. He advises us to set priorities on things above. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Debbie, would you come, please? And so let me just say, as we consider these thoughts, I pray that the Holy Spirit has given us, it isn't that we have rejected spiritual values and obligations. Most of us recognize the importance of God's kingdom. We recognize the importance of His kingdom and righteousness, but so often people have rearranged their priorities. God's things, the things He's interested in and He wants His children to be concerned with, are no longer at the top of the list. Oh, they're there. They're just not at the top. You know what should be at the top? Prayer, worship, and witnessing have often taken a back seat. Jesus is coming. The time is short, and we must not waste energy and let precious opportunities slip by. Paul said, let a man examine himself and adjust his priorities to favor eternal values. And the result will be eternally satisfying. I don't know how many times I've heard, and I never get tired of hearing it, and I can almost prophesy that he'll do it again. Brother Skip's going to come, and he's going to say, you got to put Jesus first. You got to put Jesus first. It's really that simple. Would you stand? Do you know the chorus, only to be what He wants me to be every moment? Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone every moment of every day, just to be part of His wonderful plan. I made that up, but it sounds so grand. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. We can at least sing that. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. I'm all over the place. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every moment of every day. Could we come on this 4th of July and let's come and say, Lord, I'm going to put You first. And the Holy Spirit will help us to put Him first. It may cost you. It may cost you your will. It may cost you your flesh. It may cost you innocent things. But He'll reward you. Thank You, Jesus. I pray the Lord is first in your life. I pray His church is a priority. I pray His word is a priority. Jesus said, everything I do it to please Him. Heavenly Father, You know the heart of every one of us. How easy the devil comes to us like he did Jesus, to throw off our priorities. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking. But when those things become more important than You, God, it's trouble. I pray for every home here. I pray, Lord, for every child of God, that, Lord, the devil would come to every one of us to throw us off. And I pray, as Jesus said, as He said to Peter, Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee. He wants to throw your priorities out of whack. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Let that be a priority. I want you right now, if you're going through it, say, God, I believe You. I believe You're going to help me. Lord, I'm going to put You first. God, I believe You. I believe, God, that You'll help me. And if you've sinned, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I ask You, Lord, to help me pay attention, to be mindful of the Holy Spirit He's dealing with me. And God, You will help and You will deliver. You're a delivering God. And Lord, I thank You for that. And Lord, bring comfort. And oh God, we thank You for Your goodness. And help us to put Jesus first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless Your people, I pray. Help us to be aware of the cost, but it's well worth it. Thank You, Lord. Now go ahead and pray for somebody next to you, would you, if the Lord leads you? And just pray, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
miracles happen, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to put you first, Lord. Help me to put you first, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God bless. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to help, Lord. I pray for their faith. I pray for their faith. Oh, God, my faith. Lord, it's on you. My eyes are on you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you're a forgiving God. Your mercies are new every morning. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus. He loves me. Oh, how.